Does anyone know why Parashat Pukah is important in Sefer Bamidbar? This is due to the fact that either A, people just aren't familiar with anything in the Torah, which might be true and bad and unfortunate, as people continue to grow as B'nai Torah and Lomdei Torah, should realize that you need to begin with the Torah. If you don't know the Torah, you don't know anything. Could be even people who knew the Torah well don't appreciate what happens in Parshas Pukah because it's muffled. It's an interesting word, muffled. Right? Perekhov begins discussing a new generation, a generation that entered into Eretz Yisrael in the 40th year. And part of the reason why people don't appreciate it is because the Torah never tells you 38 years later. It seamlessly moves from the generation that failed to get into Eretz Yisrael to this generation that succeeded. And that's a very important thing to appreciate if you want to appreciate the newness of this perek.
This is the first perek of the Kedoshah?
There you go. How do we know? The Torah doesn't even tell us. It says in Perek Chof, V'zakala v'yavo v'nei Yisrael kol ha'edam in Baratzin v'chodesh v'shon v'yesh v'am v'kadesh tamat sham Miriam v'tikaver sham. Miriam dies. And then Aaron dies and then Moshe is told that he's going to die. The parak seems to be in between. It seems to be a transition from Parshas Korach, which is dealing with the end of the first generation, to Parshas Chukas, which is dealing with the second generation. It's Perek Yutet. Perek Yutet deals with Paraduma. The base value, you could say, and here we have the death of a whole generation. So we talk about how to become Torah from Tumas Meis, and that moves us to the new generation. But I'd like to explain a little bit more as we'll continue to take a closer look at what happens in this week's parsha. As I mentioned, Perachof and On is dealing with this new generation, the generation that's going to enter into the Eretz Yisrael. To a certain extent, this generation comes back to the point that the first generation got to, but failed at. Thank you very much. There are three sheets here, meaning three sides. There are three sides. Everyone should take two sheets and pass them on. Okay? They get back to the point where the first generation failed. What point was that? Look at Perek Chof Pasuk Aleph. Vayavo b'nei Yisrael kol ha'edam midbar tzin b'chodesh rishon v'yeshev ha'am b'kadesh. You know why that's significant? Because if you look back at Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Chavav, you see that the Meraglim came back to the Jewish camp that was in Kadesh to report what they had seen in Eretz Yisrael, and of course we know what happened after that. Let's take a quick look. Vayelchu vayavo el Moshe v'yal Aaron v'yakol adat b'nei Yisrael el midbar paran Kadesha, v'yashivu otam davar v'et kol ha'edav v'yarum et p'nei ha'aretz, etc. So here the generation gets to the place where the Chen HaMeraglim happened, where the Jews turned back, and now the question is whether they're going to be able to move forward. And indeed, they are moving forward, and there's a very strong newness here. It's a newness that expresses itself in the death of the leaders of the first generation. Which leaders died here? Miriam. Then Aaron. And then we hear about in this week's parsha the fact that Moshe is going to die. And in addition, not only do they have new leaders, or not the old leaders, but they are successful. In what way are they successful? If you look in Perek Chof Aleph, they're successful at beating the Kanani. Perek Chof Aleph Pasuk Aleph. Vayishma Kanani Melech Arad Yoshev Neged Kibay Yisrael Derech Hatarim Vayichlem Vayish Menu Shevi. We learned about this last week, right? Significance of the Shevi, Vidai Shal Nez Hashem, Vyom and Tanti Tenet Amazabiyadi, Vacharamti Etorehem. They make a promise that they're going to be machrim, the spoils of the victory, not to think they're their own, right? To recognize that it's from God. Vayishma Hashem Bekol Yisrael, Vayitenet Ekanani, Vayachrem Etem Vayatarem, Vayakra Shem Amakom Chorma. Three times the word Chorma appears here. And again, if you're appreciating the flow of Tanakh, you understand the significance of this Chorma. Why is it significant? Because look at the end of Perek Yud Dalet. Remember, after the Meraglim were punished, Hashem said, you're not going up. The Ma'apilim came and said, no, we want to do true, we want to go up, right? Mm-hmm. Remember? Mm-hmm. And Moshe said, no, Hashem's not with you, you're not going to succeed. And what did Moshe say was going to happen to them if they insisted on going? Perek Yud Dalet, Pasuk Mem Gimel. Ki ha'amaleki v'haknani sham lefnechem. Unefaltem b'charev ki alkein. Shavtem me'acharei Hashem v'lo yeh Hashem imachem. V'yapilu lalot al rosh ha'ar v'arom brit Hashem Moshe lo mashu mikar v'machaner v'yered ha'amaleki v'haknani ha'yoshev b'har ha'hu v'yakum v'yaktum ad Chorma. How did the first generation end? With a failed attempt to force their way into Eretz Yisrael, destroyed by the Kanani and the Amaleki, who made them into Chorma. Now what happens? This second generation does Cherem too? To the Kanani. Rashi says on Ishma Kanani, which Kanani was it? Very famous Rashi. He says it was Amaleki Kanani. Rashi says, I know it's Amaleki Kanani because Amalek is always looking for people at their weak point. I think another basis for saying it's Amaleki Kanani is that if you appreciate that this story is connecting back to that story, who was it in Perek Yudalet? Amaleki and the Kanani. So who is it here? Who are they being victorious over here in reversing the fate of the first generation? The Amaleki Kanani. So on the one hand, this generation is successful in a way the first generation was not. On the other hand, this second generation seems to be a continuation of the first generation. In what way? In what things in this generation remind you of the first generation? People learn the Parsha, I assume, already? The incessant complaining. What did the first generation complain about primarily? Lack of water and lack of food. And even when they had the man, they complained that the man was no good. And we find this as well. Perek Chaf, the very first thing we hear, Miriam dies, there isn't water. Chazal learned from this juxtaposition that Miriam was the one with Chuta the Be'er. Perek Chaf, Pasuk Bet, Vayikaloa Moshe Ve'Aaron, Vayarev Ha'amim Moshe Ve'yamru Le'mor Ve'luga Vanu Begvar Chinuch Ve'Hashem. Lama haveitim et kal Hashem l'midbar hazeh l'mutsham anachnu v'yirenu v'lama ha'elitunu mi'mitzrayim. Remember this, right? Sounds exactly like Parshas B'Shalach. Exactly like the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar. Okay. Then we have in Perek Chaf Aleph, Pasuk Zalid, they complained about the man. Pasuk Hei, Ve'idaber ha'am ve'elohimu ve'el Moshe v'lama ha'elitunu mi'mitzrayim l'mut b'midbar ki ein lechem ve'ein mayim v'nafshenu katsa b'lechem ha'klokel. We're sick of this disgusting bread. Right? The same old complaints. And those who want to look at it further, you can compare, if you look on the sheets in front of you, you can compare to the Psukim in Shemot, Parshat B'Shalach, and in Parshat Baaloscha, and see the exact same phrases and terminology appearing. And the truth is that this is why Moshe acted the way he acted. What Moshe did in response to the complaints of the Bnei Yisrael was exactly what he was told to do the first time. And this is the kasha that the Ramban asks on the traditional Pirushim regarding the Chet of Moshe Rabbeinu. You look on page one here. You look on page one here. Hopefully I'll find my page one. Seems to have gotten lost in the shuffle. My page one seems to be missing. Move out for a second here. If you look at page one, oh, already on page 2, so it's good that my page 1 is missing. Okay, on page 2. Okay. Oath Gimel. What's Rashi's pshat on what Moshe did wrong? Everyone knows it. Moshe was supposed to talk to the rock, and instead he hit the rock. The Ramban asks, first he points out that the chet of Moshe and Aaron is not clear in the Torah. He quotes Rashi's pshat, and then he says in the fourth line, V'divrei agadahim. Why? He says, what Moshe did here is exactly what he did in Parshat B'Shalach. In Parshat B'Shalach, and throughout Yetziat Mitzrayim, he was told to bring the stick. And what was he supposed to do with the stick? Hit something with it. So here he did exactly what he did in Parshat B'Shalach. Hold your finger here and look in Parshat B'Shalach for a second. I think I put the, did I put it on page 1 on the sheet here? The second in Parshat B'Shalach when he hit the rock. Let's look here. Have page 1 for a second. Well, that's by Yetziat Mitzrayim. Let's see for a second here. Not that on the sheet. If you look in Parshat B'Shalach, Perek Yud Zayin. Okay, the Jews got to Rephidim. They didn't have water. They complained. Moshe said, "May Meriva," right? "Masa Meriva, why are you complaining?" Moshe complained to Hashem, "The people are going to stone me." Pasuk Hey, Yomer Hashem Moshe, Avor Lefneam, Vekachetcha Mizeknei Yisrael, Umatcha Asher Hikita Bo Ata Yaor. Take the stick you used to hit the river in Mitzrayim. Hineni Omei Lefenech Shama Latzur B'Chorei, Vihikita Batzur. You can hit the rock. The Yatsu, you know Mayim? And it says indeed. And that's what Moshe did. So why here is it wrong? It's exactly what the Ramban asked. Welcome. It's exactly what the Ramban asked. Moshe was told all the time to hit the rock. The Ramban asks the same kind of kasha on the Rambam. Does anyone know the Rambam's explanation for what Moshe Nahum did wrong? If you look at the bottom of your page too, the Rambam in his Pirush HaMishnayos, in his introduction to Pirkei Avot, where he talks about the different midot that a person needs to have, the Rambam talks about the importance of having patience, not getting angry. The Rambam says that this is what Hashem punished Moshe for. If you're getting angry, Rambam explains that if a person like Moshe gets angry in a place that's inappropriate, it's a chilul Hashem, because others learn it from him. It's so important as a model not to get angry for no reason. You ever see little kids, like real little kids, like 5 years old, when they get upset about something, they throw a whole temper tantrum? And it's clear they're acting. They're not really doing it naturally. What they're doing is what they see adults do. And so they think that when you get angry, when something bothers you, you're supposed to do that. Right? And it's not, oh, it doesn't make sense because they're acting like a 20-year-old. We set the example of how others should act, and it's very important that we set the right example. But the Ramban asks on page 3, he goes, what was wrong with Moshe getting angry? If you look throughout the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar, when the Jews complained, it says every time, Vayicharaf Hashem. Right? And in fact, Moshe, the Rambam says that Moshe was punished for calling the Jewish people Morim, Shimuna HaMorim. The Ramban says Hashem is the one who called them Morim. When did he call them Morim? Shimuna HaMorim. Remember the stick of Aaron. That was meant to be a sign. It was called an oath. Livnei Mary. Hashem said, take this stick, that flower, put it aside as an oath, Livnei Mary. So, what did Moshe do wrong? This is a very basic question, and because the Ramban, it's on the sheet in front of you, because the Ramban rejects the traditional explanations of Rashi and the Rambam, he adapts eventually the explanation of Rabbeinu Hananel, right? Who says the problem was that Moshe said, Hamin hasel hazeh, no tzi lechem mayim, and not yotzi Hashem lechem mayim. Which seems to be a very minor issue, right? He said no tzi instead of yotzi. But the traditional famous explanations we're familiar with, Rashi hitting the Rambam getting angry, the Ramban rejects. So the question is, why was Moshe punished according to Rashi and the Rambam for getting angry hitting the rock? He was doing what they did before, no? That's exactly the answer. Moshe, what was doing in the second generation, what needed to be done in the first generation. 1 second. Sammy, how are you guys getting back? Listen, we got a bunch of people from the Beit Midrash who want to go to TBI to learn.
Yeah, sure.
So they're supposed to meet at 11 o'clock by the Sheled.
By the where?
The Bnei Akiva sign.
We have 3 spots in the car.
Okay, so just make sure to take 3 people with you because we have a lot of people who want to go and not enough vehicles. The way they say it in Moshava, vehicles, not vehicles. Vehicles. There's an H. Okay. You guys know Sam Shapiro?
Sure.
Chicago? The man.
Good meeting you guys.
He's running the TBI program, so you guys are going out there, you should know. I listen to him. Whatever he says. Alright?
Okay, fine.
So they'll be out at 11 when they have to finish it. I know you're taking books. I know. Well, now that I saw you, it's not stealing. It's armed robbery. Listed Missourian and stuff. Okay. See you later, yeah. Anyway. Right. Moshe was doing with this generation what he had done with the generation before. But now it wasn't appropriate. Why wasn't it appropriate? This is a very, very important explanation. Let's go back to Parashas Bishalach. The answer is that you don't hit the rock the first time people complain. And you don't get angry at them and call them Morim the first time they complain. What do you do the first time they complain? You explain things. You teach them. You show them. You give them a message. Now, if people keep complaining after you've showed them, then what do you do?
But they've been complaining the whole time.
Have they?
Okay.
That's exactly the point. Moshe has been around for a long time. He's been through this before. Moshe is a grandfather. What that means is his kids wrecked the cabinet, right? His second kid wrecked the cabinet. His third kid. When he gets his grandson, he goes, how many times have you been through this with you before? And the kid's like, Ever see some, some grandparents don't have patience for it? That's why. Or some parents don't have patience with their sixth kid. We've been through this 100 times. How many times do I have to tell you? And the kid's like, that time you can't be a father anymore. Let's look what happens in Parshas Bishalach. The first time the Jews complain about not having water, right after Kriyas Yom Suf, Perek Tet Zayin, Pasuk Chaf Bet, says the Jews travel from Yom Suf for 3 days in the desert. Anyone who has any kasha how the Jews could have complained 3 days after Yom Suf should try going 3 days in the desert without water. When you've done that, we'll talk. Okay? V'yavo'o marata v'lo yochlu lishtot mayim mimara ki marim hem. They couldn't drink the water because it's bitter. Alkein karash ma'mara. See the point? V'yilonu ha'mal moshe limar manishteh. V'yitaka l'Hashem. Did Hashem say hit the rock? V'yorehu Hashem apes. Hashem showed them a magic tree. V'yashlech alamayim v'yimtiku hamoyim. Why did God do this? Why didn't he just give them water? Why did he have to heal the water? Because God was trying to teach them a lesson. Let's see what the lesson was. First of all, right when he healed the water, it says, Sham sam lo choku mishpat v'sham nisau. That's when God gave the people their first mitzvahs. Why? Yomim shamoa tishma l'kol Hashem lokecha. V'yashar b'einav ta'aseh. V'azanta l'mitzvotah v'shamarta kol chukav. Kol ha'machala asher samti v'mitzrayim lo asim alecha. Ki ani Hashem lofecha. Hashem says, if you'll follow the mitzvah, all the diseases the Egyptian had, you won't have. Because I am Dr. G. Ki ani Hashem rofecha. How did God prove he was Dr. G?
He healed the water.
He healed the waters. God showed them, you want water, what do you have to do? Keep the mitzvahs. Listen to the voice of God. Keep the mitzvahs, you'll be safe. God is teaching them. What happens in the very next piece? Perek Tet Zayin, the people complain they don't have food. What does Hashem say? Here's food? No. Pasuk Daled, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Hinani mamtzi lechem lecha min hashamayim. I'm going to bring food from the sky. V'yatza ha'am v'lachtu dvarayom v'yomo. They'll have to collect their food every day what they need. They're going to have to go day by day relying on God. I feel it's a store. L'man anasenu, so I can test them. Hayyelech b'torati imlo. To see if they can follow the Torah. How is he showing them follow the Torah? Are they going to follow the rules? I'm going to give them food, but there are rules. You go out once a day, you don't go out on Shabbos, right? 6 days a week you have to get every day, one day a week you take double. Are you going to rely on that? Hashem is training them for Torah counting. Why does Torah count? Because you realize that keeping the Torah is central for having food. He's teaching them the linkage between God providing for them and keeping the Torah. And by the way, what's the first word used to describe the wood that God showed them to heal the waters with? Look back at Pasuk Chafei. Vayitzak el Hashem, vayorehu Hashem eitz. What does the word vayorehu mean? To show, like the word?
No.
Torah. Hayilech v'torah t'yimlo. Hashem is teaching them. The Jews complained they didn't have water. Hashem says, okay, let me explain to you how it's going to work. This is how the end of Parshas Bishalach prepares for Parshas Yisro. What happens in Parshas Yisro? Matan Torah. Matan Torah can't happen after Kriyas Yom Suf. The people don't understand what Torah means yet. They don't understand the weight and significance of it. He's teaching them. Did Hashem act harshly? Did he scream at them? Did he get angry? Did he say hit the rock? No, why? What is he angry about? Teach them first. Now we get to Perek Yitzayim. Perek Yitzayim is not the first time that people complain about not having water. It's the second time. So now Hashem says, well, they didn't learn the lesson. So what does Hashem tell Moshe to do now? Hit the rock. Show them there's something wrong. And what happens right after Moshe hits the rock in Pasuk Ches? Yavo Amalek. Remember the Amalek we were talking about? Amalek takes advantage of the Jewish people when they're weak, when they're not following things the way they're supposed to. Now Hashem sends Amalek. And by the way, there's a very famous medrash on the first Pasuk of the Perek that people think is like some cheap mashkiach shot. It says, "Vayavisu kol adat bnei Yisrael yidbar sin lematayim api Hashem v'yachanu berefidim." Anyone knows the medrash on that pasuk? V'yachanu berefidim. Their hands were weak from Torah. So what kind of drasha is that? It's pasuk pshat in the parsha. Why were they susceptible in that place? Because their hands were weak from Torah. What Torah? What Torah is there in this parsha? That was the whole message. If you don't have water, what should you do? Keep the Torah better. The people were complaining. It shows that they
didn't get
the message of the Torah. So who comes to punish that Amalek? Now we can understand Parshas Chukas. Exactly like Lori said. They were complaining all along. These people weren't complaining all along. They were a new generation. The first time they complained, you hit the rock. And why did Moshe hit the rock? Because Moshe, what for Moshe was? Similar. So was Moshe bad? No. Was Moshe not necessarily ready to start over? It's very hard, right? To be able to start over with a new camper, with a new child, with a new friend, with a new place, to not carry baggage that you have from where you came from. If you look carefully at Parshas Chukas, it's really a beautiful story of chinuch and of people learning lessons. And what I'd like to show you is how even though the Jews don't know these lessons in the beginning, they learn them. And this is what's special about this second generation. They make mistakes. In fact, they make the same exact mistakes the first generation made. But they correct them. And we're going to see a certain corrective ability here in these prakim, which are what distinguishes the second generation from the first generation. Questions, and then we'll see it inside together. Okay, let's see. Yeah?
I don't see why Moshe deserves to be punished for this. It's very easily just...
Part of what we could conceivably say is that Moshe wasn't necessarily punished. He just couldn't continue leading them.
Couldn't Yoshua have replaced him without Moshe having to not enter?
That's a separate question, which is the degree to which Moshe could continue to be there without truly being in charge. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's see. In Parakof, we saw that people complained. And indeed, things don't work out for them. Pasuk Yudalet is their first attempt to get into Eretz Yisrael. They send messengers to Melech Edom. Say, come, let us pass through. Note, by the way, Pasuk Yudalet. Vayishlach Moshe Malachim. You'll see why this is significant later. Moshe sent messengers. Hey, let us pass through. And what does Melech Edom say? No passage for you. And then Aaron dies. And after Aaron dies in the beginning of Parakof Aleph, they're attacked by the Kanani. And a captive is taken. We spoke last week about how traumatic it is for a captive to be taken. But what's the response of the Jewish people? Do they complain? Do they come to Moshe? What do they do when all this happens? They respond with tshuva. Yidar Yisrael Neder Lashem. We spoke last week about how it's Yisrael, representative of the whole people as one, recognizing that it's God's help whom we need, and therefore we're dedicating ourselves to Him. We're going to be machrim, whatever we win in the war. And now they're in the war, and they're able to make that first conquest, return the captive, and avenge the chorma of the generation before. Pasuk Dalet, they complain about the man. This is the second time they're complaining. So what happens this time? Hashem sends the snakes, right? Why? Why was Hashem mean to them? Because
they didn't get it.
They should have known already, right? Hashem gave them a chance. And they come to Davin to Bogo. How do they respond in Pasuk Zayin? Vayavo ha'am el Moshe. Vayomru chatanu. Ki dibarnu v'Hashem v'voch. Hitpalel al Hashem v'yaser me'aleinu et anachash. How many times did the first generation do this? They made a mistake? Chatanu. Sounds like David HaMelech. If you know the difference between David HaMelech and Shaul. Right away. Vayitvel Moshe v'ara'am. And Hashem says to Moshe, make a snake, put it on a pole. And Chazal explained, what was the purpose of the snake on the pole? Could get them to look upwards to Hashem. Just like the hands of Moshe by the war with Amalek in Parashat B'Shalach after the people made a mistake. To redirect their attention upwards. To redirect their attention upwards. And indeed, the people are saved from the snakes. And now, in Pasuk Yudzayin, it says, Az Yashir
Yisrael.
Not Az Yashir. The Jews are taking initiative. Now they say Shir according to Chazal for everything that happened. The water, the victory. They see that they need to show recognition to God. And now when they send the messengers next time in Pasuk Chaf Aleph, when they're going to be successful, it says, Vayishlach Yisrael Malachim, not... The Jews are already stepping out. The Jews are already able to take responsibility. And this time they're going to be victorious. They're going to send messengers to Sichon and Og, the biggest kings in the region. Literally. Big boy Sichon and Og. Bigger than Reuben Berman. If that's possible. Very big kings. And they're going to beat Sichon and Og. They're going to beat Sichon and Og. And this is what happens at the end of the parasha after the lesson is learned. And I think that this is the deeper lesson of Parah Aduma. Rav Hirsch has a beautiful piece in his commentary on the parasha. And the truth is it's inspired by a piece of the Rambam, which I forgot the photocopy, so I'll just read. The Rambam is in the end of Hilchos Mikvos. You know, the Rambam ends off each Sefer with some machshava. For those who are familiar. So he ends off Seder Tara, Sefer Tara, Hilchos Mikvaos. He says like this, listen carefully. He says, one thing is for sure. Tumas and Taros are all Xeris HaKosis. And it's not something we can understand. They're chukin. It's not like going to the mikvah cleans off some dirt. Right? It's Xeris HaKosis. And then he says, but the truth is, even though it's Xeris HaKosis, there's a remez to it. Kishem Shah Mechaden Libo L'Tahir. Kevan Shetaval Tahar. Just like a person says, Mechaden Libo. When he goes to the mikvah, he becomes Tahar. Even though nothing physically has changed, so to someone who has in mind to cleanse himself, not from tumah, but from tumas hanefesh, shein machsheves ha'aven, v'deos haros, kevin shehiskin belibo lifrosh me'osan ha'etzos, when he makes up his mind to separate himself from that wrong, v'hevi nafsho b'mei hadas. Metaphorically, and he brings his nefesh into the beautiful waters of clear understanding.
Of Torah.
Of Torah, of clear thinking. The Rambam said that mikvah is really a symbol of a person's ability to change themselves. And that's really what Parshas Chukos is about. The second generation's ability to fix what the first generation failed in. And to fix what they themselves failed in. But fixed. The idea that people are going to be perfect is not something we can learn from because we're not perfect. But the idea that people can correct their mistakes is very important. Rav Hirsch applies this to the details of the Parah Aduma. I don't know if people know, but the Parah Aduma was burned, turned into ashes, and the ashes were put into water, but not just water. What does it say? Mayim Chayim. What does Mayim Chayim mean? Water of life. The idea of the vitality, the ability to conquer death. I don't know if you guys know, but they mix dirt into the water, right? And it talks about how the dirt needs to sink to the bottom, if you look at the psukim. Why is it so important? Because it represents the victory of Chaim, of Mayim Chaim, over dirt, over ashes, over man's inabilities, and expresses the fact that a person can become Tahar. Maha mikva metayres atmeim afakadosh baruch hu metayres Yisrael. And that's the beautiful way that Parah Aduma serves as a transition from the generation that failed to the generation that failed and succeeded, because they were able to learn from their mistakes. And so I think there's a lot of important messages here. We can talk about as far as general in life, and for sure people, Yad Hashem, soon start families and people dealing with children with all kinds of frameworks and moving from framework to framework, the ability to start over, to be patient, to make things succeed, to learn, to teach, to be taught, and to be able to change. These are important things. Next week, Yad Hashem, Parshas Balak, this week's Chukos Balak, but I didn't want people to miss the thing. We'll do Balak and Pinchas. Serious stuff. And then we're going to do Matos and Mase. Dude should come with like a lot of air. Are those interested in going to TVI? We'll meet by the Shelev now. Anyone who has a car, whatever, just be full and go. You don't have to wait to put together. You know where to go. People are going to go there and meet and go.
So I'm saying, yeah. We're not